Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Friday out there! April 25th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
Not great.
Yeah, not great. Last night was no fun. I have good news for the listeners out there, though. Connor and I are here to be your therapist today. If you have grievances, within reason, of course. I mean, I'll accept all of them. It doesn't mean I have to agree with all of them, but we're going to be your therapist today. Bottom half of this hour, we're going to take your calls on the Grizzlies after they blew a 29-point lead, blew a 26-point halftime lead. Oklahoma City Thunder are making history when it comes to the Grizzlies. They now have the biggest margin of victory in a game one in NBA playoff history and the largest comeback, halftime comeback.
And biggest halftime lead.
History. And biggest halftime lead. So, yeah, they're making history. And it's not good for the Grizzlies. But
zero fun,
we
sir.
Will talk about that as the Thunder got over top 114-108. But on some positive news, I was flipping back and forth between the NFL draft and the Grizzlies game. We saw Jackson Dart, second quarterback off the board. Armand Membu, remember I said he should be the second offensive lineman. And there was going to be over 6.5 offensive linemen in the first round. I was 3 for 3. For round one of the NFL draft. If you paid attention to my picks on the show yesterday, you could have made yourself some money. You could have parlayed them. You could be retiring right now if you took my advice. So that was nice. But I enjoyed the draft last night. We did have a massive trade off the top that I didn't quite expect, Connor. How about that? The Browns trade out of number 2, give up Travis Hunter for all intents and purposes. They trade down to 5, take Mason Graham, and then They have some extra picks that they're going to do with next year. They have a first-rounder next year. They'll have 2 first-rounders heading into next year. With Andrew Berry, their GM, he's not been great at drafting for the most part, but also he made a future-oriented move, and I don't even know if he's going to be the GM next year. That was a strange turn of events to me, to give up on a generational talent like Travis Hunter and move down in the draft when you don't know that you're going to be employed by that team next year and be able to make the picks that you just brought into the fold.
I was laughing to myself thinking about what was going through Travis Hunter's head when he saw that the Browns are making a trade.
Duval.
He was like, oh God. I don't have to go to Cleveland. I don't have to go to Cleveland. Where am I going? Jacksonville. Damn it! It had to be such like a, no! Take me back! Take me back to Cleveland! Take me back to Cleveland!
He seemed to have fun, though. He was dancing on stage. He enjoyed himself.
But it was a funny thought where for a split second, he was like, oh, I could be going anywhere. And then it was Jacksonville.
Can we be honest about the situation, though? Jacksonville probably has a better chance of winning more games next year with Liam Cohen than what we're looking at with the Cleveland Browns.
Sure, sure.
Like, the Cleveland Browns don't have an offense. They don't have a
quarterback. At least they have a quarterback, yeah. At least the Jaguars have a quarterback.
Yeah, so, like, he may not be as good as we once thought, Trevor Lawrence. But
sure.
Maybe Liam Cohen can bring him back to life, resuscitate his career. So we'll see how that all plays out. But the NFL draft was fun. I like the live look-ins on all of the players. The one that takes the cake last night, though, Connor, Do you see Kelvin Banks Jr. gets drafted at number 9? Did you see that? And here is his kid, I believe in his girlfriend or wife's lap, spitting up while he is just in the proudest moment of his life. Here is a baby spitting up and throwing up on live television. That's what dreams are made of. But I got to be honest, that's a great memory. That's something you bank and you enjoy for the rest of your life.
It'll be in the wedding video.
Yes, that's absolutely awesome. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, yours truly. Talk about Grizzlies here in just a moment. We'll get to the NFL draft in hour number 2 after we get off with my first guest of the day, which will be at 5 o'clock with David Cobb, CBS Sports. And then 6 o'clock, Parker Fleming will join from Sub-Sac Elitist. We'll get to the Blitz at 6:30. Then we'll get you to the weekend around 6:50 as we rewind. Also, with the NFL draft, Shador still on the board. I said it yesterday, and I stand by it, and I'll elaborate on it more later. Adam Schefter has some insider reports that, this fall may not stop anytime soon. I said his talent. Let's get rid of all the anonymous sourcing, entitlement. He's arrogant. Let's get rid of all that. His talent says he should be picked between 20 and 40. He doesn't have a big rocket arm. He's not overly athletic. He relies on placement and timing and all those things. He doesn't have the crazy physical attributes. And with quarterbacks, you know how dear we hold them. Did I think he was going to get drafted more toward 20 than 40? Yes. I thought he would be at 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we need to talk about them. What are they going to do at quarterback? Is Mason Rudolph going to be their answer with George Pickens and DK Metcalf on the outside? Maybe. But I always thought Shador Sanders, from a talent perspective, was going to be drafted somewhere between 20 and 40, and we'll see if he comes off the board early in day 2 if somebody trades up. Should be interesting to watch. Now, to the Grizzlies, they gave up a 29-point lead. They gave up a 26-point halftime lead, lost 114-108. And I think we learned one major lesson last night. With all this discussion around the big three and what's going to happen. If you're in the same position next year, do you need to visit that conversation? Who would be most tradable? I know one guy who proved his value last night by not playing, and that's Ja Morant. He was undercut by Lou Dort with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. And from that point forward, Connor, I never had any indication, any hope that the Grizzlies would be able to stop the onslaught in the second half. You didn't have your main scorer. You didn't have the guy who could create. Desmond Bain didn't play well because the Oklahoma City Thunder turned up their on-ball pressure, and they really turned it up when they realized Desmond Bain was going to have to handle it a whole lot more. Scottie Pippen turned the ball over 5 times, I believe, most in the second half.
Yep.
But once Ja Morant came out, that team lost its power. It lost everything.
It lost its leader.
It felt like a lost cause that entire second half. And, of course, the Thunder mounted the comeback, 36-18 in the third quarter, 27-13 in the fourth.
It was brutal to watch. It was absolutely brutal to watch.
Agonizing.
Because the first half was everything you wanted. We said yesterday they got to come out and punch this team in the mouth. You've got to hit threes. You've got to force turnovers. All of those things were happening. Everything was clicking on all cylinders. And Ja Morant look like the superstar player we know him to be. It felt like one of those classic Ja nights was coming to fruition. And, you know, I still think that the idea the Grizzlies would have won the series is a bit far-fetched because we've seen how good the Thunder are. But they would have made it a series at least. We could have at least come in here and had the take.
They could tie it up.
Series doesn't start until a road team wins. We could have done all of that. It was going to be a very fun thing. It would have been nice to get one. That injury, though, changed everything. And that is why I've had some frustration today about how people are trying to frame this game. Some have said, well, the Oklahoma City Thunder had a historic comeback. They had a historic comeback because the other team's best player got undercut and taken out of the game. If you don't start the conversation or the analysis there, I don't want to hear it. Did the Grizzlies still blow a 29-point lead?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely did. And there is frustration that you can have about that. But that would have never happened if Ja was still on the court. It allowed the Oklahoma City Thunder to change what they were doing defensively. They were able to focus more on Desmond Bane. They were able to focus more on Scottie Pippen Jr. They were throwing double teams at them. They were picking them up half court. Jaren Jackson Jr., unfortunately, couldn't get it done against Alex Caruso. That's another conversation. Yes. There's frustration there. Did Caruso get away with some things? Yes. Am I going to blame Caruso for getting away with those things? No, that's a referee thing. And at the end of the day, Jaren's a 7-footer and you've got a 6-foot-4 guy on you. Take him to the hole and hang on to the basketball. But it's just, they lost that game because Ja got undercut. There is no other reason they lost that game. That is what happened because it sucked all the energy out of the room. And it forced Desmond Bane to be a ball handler, which he isn't as very comfortable with. It forced him to be a playmaker, which he shouldn't necessarily have to do. And Scottie Pippen Jr., they just started throwing two guys at him.
Yeah.
It changed everything when Ja got hurt. It changed the intensity of the Grizzlies. It changed the intensity of the arena. It changed the intensity of where I was watching the game at Hampline. We were done with trivia. Everybody was watching the game. We were cheering, going crazy. Ja goes down. All the air got sucked out of the room. It changed the entire complexity of the game. So if you're not starting the analysis there, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Grizzlies aren't the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. That's where that conversation needs to start. I thought down the stretch of the game, though, Tomas Isolo, and I know that Jaren had his struggles from the field.
He was bad.
He was not great, especially in the second half. I thought you should have lived and died by him in the ISO at the end of the game.
Yeah,
you weren't getting points anywhere else. You scored in the second half. In the second half, you scored 31 points in the entire second half.
13 in
the fourth. At least just go back to the guy that has gotten you to this point. I know he hasn't been good in playoff basketball. I know he's not the guy you want to rely on, but I thought they should have lived and died by Jaren Jackson Jr. ISOs at the end of that game. I know he struggled, but you weren't getting it from anywhere else. Scottie Pippen Jr. was being hounded. Desmond Bane was really bad last night. You had one guy who you felt like, okay, every once in a while this guy can put the ball in the bucket. He'll get to the rim, put up that left hook, and make something happen. They went away from it, though, and it just was not there in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter when the game got close and it was up in the air.
I think Tomas was bad last night. He looked like a deer in headlights.
He was a deer in headlights that entire second. Once he lost Ja, he had no idea how to react. He had no other – and I understand – listen, that's hard to do. When you lose your best scorer, your player leader, the guy who's filling it up at a high level that gets his teammates involved, your best on-ball guy, I know it's hard to adjust from there. But he didn't have a single adjustment. He didn't know what to do.
I think that's where my issue lies with the coaching last night. Ja goes out, and you tried to do the exact same plan as if Ja was still in the game. You couldn't draw up anything to beat a full-court press?
The idea when Ja went out was to spam pick-and-rolls with Scottie Pippen Jr. and Desmond Bane. That's not a good plan.
Just not a good plan. And you couldn't figure out a way to get Jaren Jackson Jr. the ball more. And let's be honest about it. There was a moment in the fourth quarter where the Grizzlies still had the lead, and he pulled Jaren Jackson Jr. Yep. What the hell are we doing? This is a playoff game at home with 6 minutes left to go, and you're pulling Jaren? Why?
And the Thunder clearly have the momentum.
Clearly had the momentum, and you're pulling your best offensive weapon, your best defensive weapon, and you're pulling him? And guess what happened immediately? Bang, tied the game.
He had five fouls.
If he fouls out, he fouls out.
That was the make or break game of the series, and I thought they were going to lose the series anyway.
Right.
But for all intents and purposes, you're down 0-3 now without Ja Morant going into Game 4. For those that don't know, Shams Charani has already reported no Ja Morant, likely done for the season.
He is done for the season.
To see him pull Jaren at that juncture with the season on the line, with the best chance you're going to have to beat this Oklahoma City Thunder team, that was embarrassing. It was bad. It was a bad decision.
And it is, we have seen, to be honest, since Jenkins got fired, there have been some positives, but not a ton. Right. Yes. And I'm sorry. There needs to be a coaching search.
Yes.
He has 100%. Not won the job by
that,
any means.
We said that Wednesday. We've been on that.
He has not won the job by any means. Did he make Jaws play better? Yeah. Did he make Edie's play better? Yeah. The rest of the team got worse.
Jaren got worse.
Their defense
got worse.
Santi
got worse. The bench got worse.
And their defense got worse.
Now, granted, Jalen Wells has been hurt. Brandon Clark
went
out.
Sure.
We can shoot Bale to Isolo all we want, but I haven't seen a meaningful adjustment based on losing players, based on, you know.
What about the out-of-bounds plays?
Whenever he gets to the board, I just know it's going to be a turnover. Whenever he's on the board drawing things up, it never works.
When they took the ball out, it was next to half court. They almost had a five-second call again last night. His out-of-bounds plays are not working by any means. And that is why I understand the idea of him, but I have not seen anything that gives me full confidence that he needs to be the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies without a coaching search. Absolutely needs to be a search. I understand you paid money to bring him over here. I understand what his history is, the idea of him. But I have eyeballs, and I've watched this team with him at the helm. And last night, one coach, when Ja went down, went into action, and the other one froze.
Yes. I want to also point out the Lu Dort foul.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it.
He slipped after Scottie Pippen Jr. dumped the ball off and tried to turn around and still contest, and he undercut Ja. Ja falls on the ground. He's out for the season.
Unless they go on some run.
It looked incidental. Now, the problem I have with that, I don't want to call Lu Dort some dirty player, but there is a history for him making a lot of dirty, dangerous plays look incidental. Like, there's a compilation going around Twitter and around YouTube right now of Lu Dort and his quote-unquote incidental fouls that knock guys out of games. I was absolutely floored, though, that was not a flagrant foul.
Insane.
It makes no sense. I know that intent does come into question with flagrant one and flagrant two. I understand that, and maybe the intent didn't look like it was there. He slipped. It was tough, incidental, blah, 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 blah. But we need to, as a society, as a basketball-watching society, put the pressure on the NBA. If anybody gets undercut while they're in the air, it needs to be like the hard closeouts and the flagrants that they charge for hard closeouts and land in the, you know, getting yourself in the landing area on three-pointers and jump shots. It needs to be an automatic flagrant. I don't really care about intent. You knocked out the best player for the team you're playing. He's hurt for the year, going to have a rehab process, I'd imagine. That needs to be a flagrant. The NBA needs to make sure that things like that are taken out of the game. Lu Dort should never have put himself in that particular situation to undercut Ja Morant, and because he did, he should have, at the very least, gotten a flagrant one, and the Grizzlies should have been on the line immediately and gotten the ball back.
Very much like the Thompson play, if you undercut a player, it needs to be a flagrant, no matter what. I don't care about intent. Most of the time when a player fouls somebody else, they're not intending to do it, but it happens. Fouls happen. Plays like that happen. Lu Dort slipped, but after he slipped, he lunged backwards and he lifted his body up and he undercut Ja. There's no other way to describe it, in my opinion. He undercut him. He could have gotten out of the way. He could have stayed down, but he didn't. He chose to try to make a play when he probably shouldn't have, and it was reckless. He didn't have control over his body, and he lunged at a player that was in the air, and he undercut him, and he completely changed the complexion of a basketball game and of a series. He hurt Ja Morant. For me, too, Lu Dort's history, this happens a lot with him.
He makes it look, a lot of the physical, dangerous, potentially dirty plays, he makes it look like he's not trying to. He doesn't intend to.
I don't think this was an intentionally dirty play by Lu Dort. I think he was trying to make a defensive play on Ja when he shouldn't have. We've talked about it with the Jalen Wells play. We talked about it. Sometimes you get beat. You get beat. And that's why I do not understand the conversation around, well, Scottie should have gone for a layup. Well, Josh shouldn't have jumped. What are we talking about?
I think the thing with Lu Dort, and you brought this up off air, I'm going to give you credit for it because I think it's a very apt comparison. I think Lu Dort and Dylan Brooks are one and the same on the defense.
They're very similar. They try too hard.
They don't try
sometimes
to hurt anybody, but they play with a physical defensive edge that lends itself to dangerous plays at times.
Because they don't give up on plays. Right.
They don't give up on plays. I don't think he's inherently dirty. I think there's one inherently dirty player in the NBA. He plays for Golden State and he wears number 23, Draymond Green. That's the one guy I think is intentionally dirty.
Maybe Isaiah Stewart too.
Isaiah Stewart. That's
he's fair. Just trying to punch people.
That's it's not usually actually on the court fouls. Yeah. It's more after the play, trying to run after LeBron James and punch him in the face
or anybody.
But I think that Dylan Brooks and Lu Dort, that's an apt comparison. They just don't give up when they need to. They always play as hard as possible, and that lends itself to dangerous plays that result in injury.
Because here's the thing. Lu Dort slipped. He didn't just slip, though. He had time to get out of the way. He turned around, looked at Ja, and chose to try to defend him.
Arm flew around.
Yeah, and he grabbed him. He also could have caught him, chose not to, and Ja hit the ground. It was a dangerous, reckless play. He didn't mean to hurt him, but he did hurt him. That needs to be a flagrant. It's just like when a three-point shooter goes up and somebody slides underneath him. There might not be intent there, but if that player comes down and lands on your foot and turns his ankle,
flagrant.
You hurt him. Intent or not, you hurt him. He undercut Ja. He could have gotten out of the way and chose not to. And real quick, the Scottie thing. People are blaming Scottie Pippen Jr. for passing that basketball. Nonsense. Nonsense. Lu Dort is an almost defensive player of the year that is trailing you.
Why?
And you have Ja Morant behind you on a two-on-one. It was a smart pass. If he goes up, Lu Dort could have blocked his
easily.
Shot. He was thinking, I'm going to dump it off to Ja, and Lu Dort is going to do what 99% of NBA players do, including Scottie in game one in a similar situation, just keep going out of bounds. Lu Dort stopped, slipped, looked backwards, and lunged after Ja. That is what happened.
Lu, last night, obviously I know it can be a short time, quick reaction to react to the ball being passed. But the reason that Lu Dort slipped is because he was trying to make a play on Ja Morant.
Right. He was going to foul him either way.
He was going to foul him either way. He just slipped, and then it became what it
right.
became.
And I've also seen people say, well, Ja shouldn't have jumped. I'm sorry. I forgot that in basketball, when there's a defender in front of you, you're supposed to freeze. What are y'all talking about?
Ja Morant doing a flat-footed layup. Yeah, that makes sense. I get where people are trying to cope and find different reasons that this shouldn't have happened and how we could have avoided it. It happened. That's the end of the day. And it was incidental. It was dangerous. Lu Dort deserves blame. The fact that it was not a flagrant still boggles my mind. But here we are, and series is over, and we're looking forward somehow trying to figure out what the Grizzlies are going to do this offseason, who's going to be the head coach. Obviously, they're going to play on Sunday. Don't expect that to go well without Ja Morant, but we'll see.
It is so frustrating now, how snake-bitten this team has been with injury.
Real quick, on a positive note, Scottie Pippen Jr., he's shown me something.
Really good.
Not
very
just
good this
regular season. He has very much shown, especially in the first half last night, he started 5-for-5 from three. He's very much shown that he's a guy that going into the future could potentially be trusted in a playoff scenario. And you have him on an unbelievable contract. There's very few contracts that I look at around the NBA that sort of fit the criteria for Scottie Pippen Jr. based on the play that he's having on the floor. Ty Jerome may fit that. Peyton Pritchard may fit that. But Scottie Pippen Jr., when we talk about guys that are on minimum deals, converted two-way guys, making very minimal money, outperforming their contract by leaps and bounds. Scottie Pippen Jr. is there. And I was serious last night. Obviously, we're still in 2025. We're still in the playoffs. And 2026, it's hard to think about what this roster is going to look like and how Scottie Pippen Jr. is going to fit in and blah, 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 blah. Very much think about Scottie Pippen Jr., sixth man of the year candidacy. Because that truly is the level of ball he has played since the new year began.
He's been very good. He's been very good.
28 and points last
unfortunately,
night.
With the Grizzlies, and before I say this, I acknowledge most of Ja's injuries aren't his fault. He ran into screen. He's gotten undercut twice. It is so frustrating that Ja has been hurt so many times that aren't his fault. That just physical plays happen that he can't necessarily control. But because of that, it makes a backup point guard on the Grizzlies very, very important.
Yes.
And Scottie Pippen Jr. has come into this Tyus Jones role and been excellent. You could argue it at times he's been
better than Tyus Jones.
Because of what he can give you on the defensive end.
You can play Ja and Scottie next to each other and not really bat an eye.
Right.
Tyus and Ja, good
well,
offensively.
Scottie's shooting defensively, has been really good.
Defensively, though, with Tyus and Ja, that was always an adventure if they put them on the floor
yeah.
at the same
like,
time.
Like, Scottie shot 40% from three.
Sitting in our
season.
Seats, we always discourage Tyus and Ja lineups. I don't discourage Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ja lineups. I think he brings an optionality that Tyus never did.
He does. I do think, though, Scottie's got to work on his playmaking a little bit
sure.
more. Because last night, you saw, when Ja went out, the Thunder decided, we're going to throw two bodies at every single ball handler they have and force them to make a decision. And unfortunately, a lot of those led to turnovers, led to fast breaks for the Thunder.
I think in the second half, Tyus probably would have been better than Scottie Pippen Jr.
Sure,
considering
sure.
the situation because he doesn't turn the ball over. I think they're inherently different players.
Definitely.
Right? Because, like, if you've followed Scottie Pippen Jr. throughout his career at Vandy and everything else, he is inherently a scoring guard.
Sure.
That's what he wants to do, and he plays good defense. Tyus Jones is very much just assist to turnover guy.
Right. That's
not
what,
turn the
I'm
ball
really,
over. Don't right. give, don't let the other team get run outs. Don't let the other team run.
Right. I'm not really talking about Tyus here anymore. What I'm talking about is if Scottie has an area to improve, it is his playmaking.
Yes.
And just taking care of the basketball
and
a little bit
we've
more.
We've seen some steps this year where he's kept his turnovers down and the assists high. But it's not as consistent as, obviously, Tyus Jones was back in the day.
Right.
So, we'll see how
Man,
that
last
out.
Night was just a gut punch.
Yes, and I know some people, some Grizzlies fans, you need some therapy. Connor.
I've been in therapy for years. I can help.
Connor and I will do that for you. We're going to be your therapist for the rest of this first hour. Call in 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. Air your grief.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Grievances, get it off your chest. Let's not cuss. We're still FCC regulated. But 901-445-0929, call in, and we'll be your therapists on the Grizzlies for the day. That's next. 901-445-0929 is the number again. 901-445-0929. You will be talking to your resident Grizzlies therapist, Connor Dunning and Gabe Kuhn. Again, 901-445-0929. Let's go ahead and get it underway. We bring on Derek. Derek, you're on. How's it going?
Going well, Hunter and Gabe. I appreciate you opening the forum, allowing me to vent. last night was tough for me because it was looking murky and didn't look like Grizz would be able to get a win in this series. So I was so pleased because I truly understand that the outcome of this series can dictate how the future goes and the decisions that the higher-ups make. And I want to keep our big three, but I'm not sure if we will give Jaren that super max
right.
based on what we're seeing. And it really makes me fearful. So last night was really pivotal as to where we could go moving forward. So I vented to myself on my couch all night, and I even want to have an emotional outburst with y'all, but I'm going to hold it in until I get off the phone.
Well, I'm glad, man. Derek, I appreciate it, man. When it comes to the big three, I understand where the sort of frustrations lie. Desmond Bane didn't have a good game last night. Understand all of that. I will say, just for clarity, the Jaren Jackson Jr. Supermax would have to have him on an all-NBA team. So that would be a five-year, $345 million deal. Likely, if he doesn't make All-NBA, he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year either. He would be on a four-year, $229 million deal. Definitely a little easier to swallow if you're the Grizzlies. But I completely understand your frustrations. The worst thing that could happen, I think, for a fan base is to get some hope back and to have that completely snatched away from you. And last night, even more frustrating, that hope was snatched away from you because of Ja Morant being undercut by Lu Dort.
Demoralizing. And what you said earlier was factual. What Hunter said, his injuries totally have not been his fault. And it's just a bad luck of the draw for the Grizzlies. And it goes all the way back to the previous season years ago where I feel like we had an opportunity. And I think it was C.J. McCollum that broke Mike Conley's face. And then Tony, right behind that, Tony
yep.
Allen had a hamstring injury, and that was, I want to say, the first year Golden State got their ring, and we owned them every year prior to that. So it's just hurtful, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do it.
Appreciate it, Derek. We'll
Thank
let you roll,
guys.
Though,
Thank
man.
You.
Thanks, Derek. Hey, Derek's right there. If none of that ever happens, they could get through the Warriors, could potentially push for an NBA Finals appearance. But 901-445-0929 is the number. We have a couple of open lines. 901-445-0929. Talk to your resident Grizzlies therapist, Connor Dunning. Connor Dunning, not Hunter. Not Hunter. Like Derek, but not Hunter. Connor Dunning and Gabe Kuhn. C, you're on. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Doing well. Doing well, brother.
I'm going to start off by saying that I enjoy listening to you guys' show every day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. I'm a 45-year-old man, and waking up after that game today for the first time in my life, I can honestly say I need a hug. I need a hug bad, and I'm riding down Winchester. If anybody see me, please pull over and give me a hug. This is Let me also say that I'm a Tigers fan.
Sure.
And I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. So I know exactly how this feeling is every single year.
Yeah.
And the little ray of hope we had last night is over with. And it's going to be a long summer.
Hey, how do you like your Cowboys getting a guard at number 12? How you feel about that? Boring? Boring, see?
We needed a guard.
Yeah.
I'm not too thrilled with that being the first round pick, but I'll take it.
I hear you. Well, see, if I could give you a hug, I'd give you a hug, my brother.
I appreciate it.
All right, that was C. 901-445-0929 is the number. 901-445-0929 is the number to hit up your resident Grizzlies therapist, Connor Dunning and Gabe Kuhn. Drew, my guy Drew. How's it going, Drew?
What's up, Gabe?
Man, good to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. Glad. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Glad to be on. So, yeah, just last night, it's just, man, I was Tata Mexicana with the wife, had the draft on one screen, then had just watching the Grizz on the other, kind of halfway watching the Grizz, so fixated on the draft.
Right.
Next thing you know, I look over, Grizz are up by like over 20. I just kind of snuck up, didn't even realize it, just created all this buzz, electricity, I'm texting people, It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm just haven't had that feeling in quite some time. And so then, next thing you know, look over and I see Job shooting those free throws just after he got hurt. And it's Yeah.
Demoralizing. 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 Let's be honest. And honestly, like, there was a thought, I always had the thought that even if Ja was in the game, that the Oklahoma City Thunder would be able to come back. But seeing how it played out, if Ja would have stayed in that game, they probably would have wrapped that thing up with about 5-6 minutes left. It was just I will say, like, the lack of adjustment from Tomas Isalo. I understand he's an interim head coach. I understand all that. That was frustrating to watch as well. It's just the same thing over and over again without your main piece that you're trying to build around.
I don't know. Even with Ja going down like that, I think Isalo might have cooked his opportunity that he had in front of him. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Drew, I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
But hey, end things on a high note. What about all those linemen that went in the draft?
Oh, shout out, brother. If you listen to the show, over 6.5. That was one of my plays last night. I was 3 for 3 last night. I had Armand Mimbu, second offensive lineman off the board. We had over 6.5, and I had Jackson Dart. Plus 200, mind you. Plus 200. Nice and juicy. Plus 200, second quarterback off the board. You could have made some money if you listened.
I know. And they traded up to get him. That was spectacular.
Yeah. Where he landed, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan, but hey, it is what it is.
Well, Giants needed a quarterback. Quarterback of the Giants, so
yeah, I got you. Well, Drew, appreciate it. Yeah, I think I'm with Drew in regards to Tomas Isalo. I don't want to say he's not going to have a chance to get the job, but I think in the minds of Grizzlies fans, getting this series, getting the end of the season, getting the lack of any defensive improvement, given the lack of any defensive improvement, I just don't know if that type of hire can go over the way that they want it to. I want to see a full coaching search. I truly do. I truly do. 901-445-0929 is the number. 901-445-0929 is the number. We can only take a couple of more callers, but 901-445-0929 is the number. We have some open lines. Talk to your therapist. Connor Dunning and Gabe Kuhn. Michael, you're on. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Cannot complain.
Yeah. You know, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit here. Let's remember that Wells was out and Edie's only had one season. I think, you know, we scored over 70 points on the Thunder last night in the first half. I mean, I think I'm seeing potential on that one, and I really think I don't want them to overreact to the whole thing. Honestly,
sure.
I think they just need a piece or two.
Yeah, you know, Michael, I think the biggest issue we're seeing with the Grizzlies' problems is they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. They make little problems look larger than life, and when you're playing a team that can just expose you in all of those different ways, it feels like they have 7 defenders out there. Everybody can hit a 3-point shot. It makes those small tweaks that need to be made in the offseason, it makes it seem larger, make them seem like they are insurmountable feats for this team to actually be a championship contender. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are to blame for the reaction, the visceral reaction from Grizzlies fans.
Yeah, it's usually what you see with NFL teams. They overreact and they never get their structure in place. I kind of like our front office. I think it's not been great, but I'd rather have them try and persevere through this and see what they can do.
100%. Well, appreciate the call, Michael. Appreciate the call.
Thanks.
901-445-0929 is the number. 901-445-0929 is the number. We're trying to give you some therapy. Air your grievances. I know last night was tough. We've already had a scream. Somebody said they needed a hug. So 901-445-0929.
Real quick, I think Michael made a very good point there where, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, playing the Thunder makes the Grizzlies' issues look 10 times bigger than they actually are. They still have a lot of issues, but it does highlight that, okay, this roster isn't ready. But then when you're down Ja, you're down BC, and you're down Jalen Wells, it makes things look a lot worse than they actually are. But there is still a lot of work to be done. with the front office, with that roster, and with the coaching
100%.
Search.
You're playing a historical team that's doing historical things to you. They beat you by 51 in a game one. That's the biggest deficit or loss in NBA game one history. You gave up a 26-point halftime lead, the biggest halftime lead that you have given up, that anybody has given up in NBA history. You're playing a historical team that's doing historical things, and it just makes those issues seem ginormous, gigantic. Let's move on. We got Henry. Henry's on the line. How's it going, Henry?
What's up, my guys? How are you guys doing?
Doing well, brother.
Good. Two points, my guys. 2 points. First of all, the Oklahoma Thunder, man, they are probably the NBA champions this year.
I agree.
They got the inside track on that. So we're playing the best team in the nation. So I think that we need to keep the nucleus together. Ja, JJ, and Bane. Bane is a little overpaid, but everybody else is probably free game, I think. That's just but I don't get paid to coach those guys or manage the team. But I think we keep that nucleus together one more run and see what we can do with some pieces. We've got 4 players out that I think that could make a legitimately run. And let's see what happens, man. Ja's a great ball player. That was a tough fall he did last night, but that's that with the Grizz. We're gonna still support them. We're gonna hang sure. tight with the Grizz. The Dallas Cowboys. I love that pick.
Yes, Henry, offensive line enthusiast. Hell yes,
dude, he's a beast. He's a beast. So I'm sitting there with the Bud Lights. Waiting on tonight to see what we do, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys have a good one, okay? I'll listen.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Henry. Appreciate it. Yeah, here's where I'm at when it comes to Big Three and what the Grizzlies need to do to get themselves into that contending window in the Western Conference. I'm not worried about the Big Three yet. If we get pen to paper this offseason with Jaren Jackson Jr., next year you end up in the same sort of spot, play-in or low seed, then I think a real conversation needs to be had. Are these three good enough to contend? But we've also seen, I think the Cavaliers from last year are a great example. They were ready to blow that thing up, ready to just give up on it. And then you look at this year, fast forward, number one seed, 60 wins in the Eastern Conference. They got some pieces off their bench, by the way. You can draw some parallels there to step up. Ty Jerome was in sixth man of the year running. The Grizzlies need to build around this big three at least for another year before I give up on the big three itself. I'm still there. I know some people are a little bit different. 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. Time to get some therapy for your for the Grizzlies' dread of last night. Lee, you're on. How's it going?
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Man, I had a few quick thoughts, man. For one, I'm thinking about, first of all, it pisses me off that it's Oklahoma City.
Sure.
In general, because it seems like, you can go back 10 years, it seems like just when the Grizzlies are at the edge of about to break through and be like the it team of the league, here comes Oklahoma City with their Kevin Durant and James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the Oklahoma Cities of the world.
Right.
And come by and run by and pass us. That pisses me off. Something else that pisses me off is, I don't know if you guys are angry a little bit, but I'm a little bit mad at Houston's doing as well as they are.
Sure, they basically have the Grizzlies team from 2-3 years ago.
and that just kind of brings, you know, the whole point that I was thinking about, which is I think that year was a flashpoint kind of. It was a breakthrough. We arrived sooner than we were expecting to arrive. And I think that team had the chemistry, the moxie, the momentum, that if they had broken through, I think we might have gotten a chip by now or whatever. The parallel one of your callers made earlier was with Golden State. Like, that year that Mike Conley got hurt, Tony Allen's hamstring, that was the year that Golden State became Golden State.
Yes. You know?
And I feel like, I don't know if the Grizzlies would have gone on to win 3 or 4 championships, who can say, but I do feel like if we had gotten past Golden State 3 years ago, that this team would have been able to solidify around that core. I don't know who knows if they would have still kept Dylan or whatever. I mean, it's a lot of things, but yeah, the injury bug has been killing us. And people, I need a scream and a hug too.
Yeah, Lee. Two things I want to pick through with what you said. Great call. Great analysis. One, Oklahoma City Thunder coming along and always being a thorn in the Grizzlies' side makes sense. I do remember 3 years ago when the Grizzlies beat them by 73, looking at the trajectory of both teams, now, after the fact, is so unbearably frustrating. And I share that with a lot of the fan base. Also, on the Dylan Brooks front, talking about the Rockets, the Grizzlies have not found a replacement for Dylan Brooks. They just have not. They don't have a tone setter on the defensive end who really brings guys along, who communicates, who can really get rough with somebody. They tried to do it with Marcus Smart. They gave up on that, in my opinion, a bit too quick. I thought they could have done it this offseason. There's other people that disagree with me on that. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not saying that they made the wrong decision moving off of Dylan Brooks, but they have not found the replacement for Dylan Brooks, and that much is very apparent.
Yeah, I think the thing with Dylan, the problem, obviously, he wanted to be part of a big three, and he was never going to be a part of the big three in Memphis. Ergo, he had to go. But, man, if he could have accepted that role and been, you know, the new Tony Allen. I mean, Tony Allen wasn't part of a big three.
Right.
We love Tony Allen.
He was part of a core four.
Exactly. You know, and but I knew that season was toast when Steven Adams went down. That was. The Grizzlies, people who were watching that year, I mean, yeah, the John Morant stuff with the gun, that was stupid. But the fans who were watching that year, as soon as Steven Adams went down on his knee, we were like, no!
Right, 100%. Well, Lee, I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the call.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. All right, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We have two more callers to take. We'll start with James. James, holler at us.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm James out of West Memphis, Arkansas, man. That's Les Cole's just summed it all up. I got two quick questions, two quick things.
Okay.
This team is soft, and they can't play defense. They should have won it. They should have won this game last night without John Morant. They had a 29-point lead. When John Morant went out the game, they became complacent. They couldn't get the ball down. They started turning it over. Scottie Pippen is okay, but he's just not a true point guard. And this team really can't guard the 3-point line. If they would have guarded Ted Holman, they were won this game without John Morant. They soft and they can't play defense, and they need a coach that can instill that in them.
Appreciate the call, James. Appreciate the call. And agree with just about every utterance from James. And that goes back to Dylan Brooks. You lost your edge when you let go of Dylan Brooks. You know, when he says they can't play perimeter defense, they can't. Scottie Pippen Jr., we covered this. More of a scoring guard than a point guard. Even though I really like him, I think he can be a part of the future plans. Scored 28 last night. He was awesome. But in the end of the day, to have him on ball as consistent as he was last night just is not an answer in short-term, long-term, anything like that. But Obviously, John Morant getting hurt was very frustrating.
I think, you know, the moxie point, too, that I think Lee had is also correct. Dylan Brooks, one of the things he brought to the Grizzlies was hard-nosed swagger. They had swagger. The way they would come out from the tunnel, the way they would be acting during the games. Did some people, you know, get mad at them for talking S before
they
won?
Did it get old? Sure.
But it kind of mattered, and you don't feel that anymore. You don't feel that swagger to them anymore. And, you know, last night, Ja getting hurt also impacted the defense. It impacted the defense because when Ja was in there, they were scoring, they were able to get back on defense and get set up. Last night when Ja got hurt, they were turning the ball over a lot, which was leading to fast break points for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then off of misses, the Thunder were running. They tried to pick up the pace of the game because they knew that the Grizzlies wouldn't be able to keep up with them. So that is why Ja going out, it not only impacted your offensive efficiency, it really impacted your defense because when you're scoring the basketball, you have an opportunity to get set up, to get ready for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But when you're running, trying to scramble, pick up guys at half court, that everything became a mess when Ja went out.
Yep. Now, hopefully we save the best for last with this therapy session. Michael, you're on. How's it going?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
First thing first, I'm a huge fan of the show, but just a couple things. First, watching the game last night, I've been a fan for about 20 years of my life. I'm 25, and when Ja fell and got hurt because we were playing so well and was at least showing some fight, it reminded me, I had the same feeling when I think it was Nick Young completed a 20-plus point comeback in the Clippers versus the playoffs.
Yep.
And that hurt me then. And my second question, I may have missed it because I just got on the radio, but what do you guys think about the big three? Do we maybe move Jaren or at least field offers for him or Desmond? What do you guys think about that?
Right now, I think it's too early to break up the big three. You have a good thing. You're in a small market. You don't get this type of talent all the time. You have to home grow it. You have to draft it for the most part. Now, I say you go one more year, see what happens. If you're in the similar in a similar spot, then you start reaching out to people. Right now, I think they're in let's field calls. And if a big name is available, and I know these are just these are pipe dreams, but if there was a big name available where you could package these guys up and go get Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, they've been involved with Kevin Durant in the past. That's what I think you should potentially move on. But I think we're in incoming call phase. I think next season, if you're in the same spot, outgoing call phase needs to start on the big three.
Okay, one more question, if you don't mind. I've seen a lot of rumors. What would you guys feel, depending on what the trade is, about Zion?
He's hurt a lot.
I know it's a risk. I know it's a huge risk.
He's hurt a lot. And I think that the big complaint about this front office and Zach Klein is they're risk averse. They don't want to take too many risks. But even in that line of thinking, they have inherently hurt their chances in the Western Conference by not taking those big leaps. I like Zion. I do. It's got to be the right price, though, because you're taking on a risk, and the chances of it going bad based on past experience with him, they seem high right now. I'm not saying that he can't stay healthy the rest of his career, be in better shape. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. But where the Grizzlies are at, I don't know if they can take on that type of risk right now. But other people can disagree. Reasonable minds can disagree on that.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, Michael. Appreciate it. That will do it for our therapy session. Very good callers.
Very good
callers. Very good callers. Level-headed.
And real quick, with the big three question, we are 1 year away at least from that conversation. You take some calls. If a big name's out there, maybe something happens, but you're not making any calls. And with Jaren, it's going to be really interesting because if he doesn't make that All-NBA team, there is a chance he doesn't sign any sort of extension. So you're going to have some extra money to play around with. This offseason is about surrounding the big three with the best possible players. You got to go out there. You got to find some veterans. You got to find some more shooting, more reliable players. Like, listen, I like Luke Kennard. He's not reliable, and he's not reliable in the playoffs. So you've got to find players that you know are going to show up every single night. If your job is to shoot threes, shoot threes. You can't just be standing there passing the ball off. So they have got to find something to put around this big three. And if it doesn't work after that, then conversations need to begin.
Who can you rely on in a playoff setting?